Thank you, Jeff. Donna. If you'll take your Bibles, please, and find the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we shall read a couple of passages. We've been preaching through a series on the promises of the Old Testament, and we will then, in a couple of weeks, begin to talk about the fulfillment of the New Testament of those promises. So we've looked at the promise of life. We started really in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is called the Proto-Evangelion, the first hint of the gospel. And we've talked about the promise of life and redemption and God's blessing, deliverance, the kingdom, salvation. John, you talked about the resurrection, I believe. So tonight we talk about the promise of a new relationship. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'm going to read verse 31 and then skip to 33 and 34 because I'm going to focus on the new relationship. And then Ezekiel chapter 11. So those two Old Testament prophets as we focus on the promise of a new relationship. Everybody found it? All right. You know, if you're not talking back to me, we could be here all night. Okay, thank you very much back there. And I went to Kathy Love to get my hair cut a couple of days ago, and I guess I went to sleep in the chair, and she didn't know when to stop. So I have a shaved head, and it's cold. I'm going to tell her next time. Either I get out of the chair or cut it off. Don't cut it off. No. Stop cutting. So anyway, I've sort of got a brain freeze tonight without doing anything. Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that talks about the old covenant, but go down to verse 33. And I'll put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Then Ezekiel chapter 11, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, picks up on the same promise of a new relationship. Verses 19 and 20 of Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel, echoing what Jeremiah wrote, says, then I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Father, thank you that from the very beginning you had a plan. And you've worked that plan through the centuries. And we are blessed to be recipients of that promise, of all those promises, and particularly of the new relationship. Father, I pray that tonight, if there's someone here that does not have that relationship with you, which is eternal and abiding, that tonight will be the night when they'll find sweet to their souls that kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ, which will be a culmination of their lives, even as Jeff sung and as we've thought about Billy Graham. When we know that because of who you are and our relationship with you, we have a certain promise of spending heaven with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have the notes that I prepared, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time doing the rehearsal of what we've gone through. But I think it's important that you do that because so often we pick up various places in the Scripture and we act like there's nothing that's preceded and nothing that's going to succeed what we've talked about. But the Bible is a cohesive story of what God has been about since the very beginning. And so He created us, and He created us, even as you realize there in the garden, to have an eternal relationship with Him. But what happened? Well, we blew it. That's what happened. And so we have suffered the consequences of our rebellion against God ever since. It's called the fall. And so from the very beginning, that wasn't a surprise to God. And He knew from the beginning what He was going to do, so that ultimately the consequences of our rebellion against God would be done away with. He would solve those problems. And so if you remember, as we walk through the various promises, God worked through the seed of the woman. Now, we learned that that's an unusual expression, because you don't normally talk about the seed of the woman. But in this case, it wasn't talking about generations. It was talking about a person. That person being the one who was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ. And how through Jesus, there was a plan put in place. But those promises were laid out clearly in the Old Testament. So we saw that God then took the seed of Abraham and made the promises through the seed of Abraham, established a means whereby that we would know what God's expectations were. So He gave the law. Now, the law was never to make us righteous. Can't do that, because we can never fulfill the law. The law was that mirror, that word from Him to help us to see that apart from His grace and mercy in our lives, we were hopeless. There's nothing we could do. Can't keep the law. And so it's there to show us that. And then He made it very clear that there was a means of forgiveness even in the midst of our rebellion. And so He instituted that sacrificial system of animal sacrifice, where the individuals would identify with a precious, unblemished animal. The animal would die in that person's place. And through the death of that sacrificial animal, there would be a period of restitution with God. But it wasn't permanent. It was had to be repeated frequently. Why? Because we sin how often? Frequently. Even indeed, constantly. And so, from the curse onward, man has lived under the curse of sin. Now, because we live under the curse of sin, we constantly struggle with our carnal nature. We have a bent towards sin. That's the way theologians have always declared it, a bent towards sin. What does that mean? That means on my best days, I have an inclination to rebel against God. So I can never take pride in what I do, because all that I am is a sinner before God. And my only hope is the grace and mercy of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul described our condition in the 7th chapter of Romans. It's one of those passages that I remember the first time I ever read it. And I thought for a minute that somebody had been watching me in my secret moments. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19, and I put this in the notes, Paul wrote this: "We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, it's good. But it's no longer I who did it. It's a sin that dwells in me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who did it, but sin that dwells in me." And so we have this carnal nature that's always influencing us, always driving us. That's our dilemma. And if that were the end of the message, we of all people would be most miserable, because there'd be no hope. So if we look at the promise of this new covenant, when God made the old covenant, it was external in nature, meaning it was all about doing and not doing. And then Paul helps us to see we're defeated already. If that's our standard, we can't ever get there. So in this new relationship, the new covenant is an internal, not an external covenant, whereby God has promised to establish a new relationship with us. He's promised to internalize His will. We read it in Jeremiah 34, 33. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So no longer is it out there in the new covenant, it becomes in here. God promised to renew His relationship with us. In the same chapter of Jeremiah, said, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. So there's this promise of a relationship that He's going to establish. He's going to maintain. You see, it's not dependent upon me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's great news for me. Because I just kind of blow it all the time. I mean, I start off with great intentions, but they don't last long. But they don't need to in the new covenant. And not only that, God promised forgiveness. For I will forgive their iniquity, their sin, I will remember no more. I often have people tell me, you know, isn't it great that God promised to forget our sins? No, He didn't promise to forget our sins. His promise is greater than that. Because I forget, not because I choose to, I just forget. God is not some dawdling old man that can't remember. God makes a promise that He will actively choose to remember your sins no more. It's an action of God that is so encouraging to me. So that's a promise that comes out of the new covenant. And in this new covenant, under this new covenant that He promised through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, He fulfilled His promise of a new and abiding relationship. Now, how does that occur? What is the basis for it? You remember that under the old, the external, it required multiple sacrifices of animals. But there was one substitutionary sacrifice that God had on the horizon from the very beginning. And that was the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Son of God became the all-sufficient, once for all, substitutionary sacrifice for sin. And there's a couple of scriptures in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, that clearly specifies that it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That was never a possibility. That was a picture. That was telling us what was coming so we would understand that it was something was going to be done for us. But in 1 Peter, the Bible says, knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Jesus died on the cross as our holy, all-sufficient, once-for-all substitutionary sacrifice for sin. And there's never a need for another sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? That means on Calvary, all of your sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now, how do you appropriate that forgiveness? How do you claim that forgiveness for your own? Well, it's offered to you as a gift. God said, if you'll just trust what I've done for you, then the blood of Christ will cover you and your sins will be forgiven. So most of us spend our lives being condemned. We get it all right. You know, we're ready to go. And we blow it. And the old devil comes in with what? condemnation. Well, you knew you're a loser from the get-go. Who do you think you are? And before long, we start thinking, well, it is my fault. I did blow it. And so I'm the worst person that ever lived. Well, you probably are, but it has nothing to do with anything. Because your sins are forgiven. Romans chapter 8, first verse says what? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so you can, when the devil brings condemnation because you blew it again, because you have that bent towards sin, because you have that struggle going on within you by the indwelling Holy Spirit and your own carnal nature, you can laugh in his face because you have been forgiven. And you're forgiven forever. That's the new covenant. Now, what is it that actually happens, that changes your heart like Jeremiah and Ezekiel described? What happens? Well, it's very simple. A new birth experience happens. Often, I talk with people and they identify Christianity with adopting some dogma, some standard of belief. If I'll just believe this, 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 and this, then I'm a Christian. And if I don't, then I'm not. Now, it's important what you believe, but that's not what makes you a Christian. One thing makes you a Christian, and one thing only. You must be born again. Something supernatural has to happen. You've got to say to the Lord, I'm tired of being outside of your will. I'm tired of not having a relationship with you. I give you my life. You are my Lord. And a miracle occurs. You're born again. And when you're born again, the Spirit of God takes residence within you, never, ever to leave you. And so you now have access, personal, internal access to the very God of the universe. So you don't have to go looking for God. If you've been born again, He's already found you. And He lives within you. Now, is there a battle that goes on? Yeah. And for me, it's rather constant. Because I tend to be a prideful person. I know my son doesn't believe that. He sees me as the epitome of humility. Do you know what? I've come a long way. Now, I got a long way to go. But the Spirit of God, who gave me new life, who lives within me, He's still working on me. He is. And sometimes I don't see so much of that. Because the devil doesn't want me to see it. He wants me to see myself as a loser. So periodically, I have to get Ruth to remind me that I'm not the guy she married 51 years ago. God's made a difference and making a difference in my life. I am more like Jesus today than I was then. Have I arrived? No, of course not. And honestly, here's the truth, folks. You know how I know when I'm closer to the Lord? When I realize how sinful I am. Because the closer I get to holiness, the more I see my own imperfections. And so the days that I think I'm pretty good with God, I know then I got a problem. And it's a huge problem. It's a great big I sin problem. And those days when when I realize who I am and I'm just falling on my face before the Lord, that's when I know God's got a hold of my life, and He's working on me. His presence in my heart transforms an external conditional relationship to an internal, continuous, abiding, eternal relationship because of the new covenant. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, wrote this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So never ever mistake the truth that your relationship with Christ is not about a religion. It's about a relationship that He forms when He comes to live within you, to take residence within you, to change you, to be more and more like Jesus. His abiding presence is there to conform me into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me kind of see if I can put this back together for you. Because we started this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. What was the relationship with Adam and Eve and God? Why, they walked together in the cool of the evening. They had a relationship that was unbroken until sin stepped in. But you see, once we're born again, we have that relationship restored, which can never be broken again. So all of history has moved, and we are the recipients of a great promise. And that great promise is, in Christ Jesus, we have a relationship that never ends. That's the reason I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I get up and think, you know, Billy and I, we just like this. No. I wouldn't be able to shine Billy's shoes. What a great man. But you know what? He has the same relationship with Jesus that I have. We are brothers. And we're not, we were brothers. We are brothers. He's just been relocated. But it won't be long before we'll all be home too. And we'll be restored. In the meantime, He's changing. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, these verses are there for you. But it says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so folks, if there's anything good in our lives, anything, we can't break our arms patting our backs. Because anything that's good in me is what the indwelling Holy Spirit is producing in me. And here's the great news. Because He lives in me, He's producing His likeness. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What, honey? Kindness. I knew you'd bring that up, baby. And self-control. You see, those are the qualities and characteristics I want to see in my life. And they are promised to be produced in me. Not because I'm some fantastic person, but because a fantastic person indwells my life. I can do all things through Christ. So the thing that I want to close with this tonight is I just want to remind you that if you know, if you're not living in the joy of your salvation, review who you are in Jesus. And if you're not that in Jesus, if you haven't been born again, then your life has a giant hole in your soul that only He can fill. And when He fills it, you'll never have another question about what you need. You'll know what you need. You'll have what you need. And so the question is, how much of you does the Spirit have? And that's the reason daily we need to refresh our commitment. And just again, bow the knees of our heart, as the pastor so beautifully expresses it. Say, Lord, here I am. I belong to You. You live in me. I am Yours. Do in me what only You can do. Be powerful in my life for Jesus' sake. Are you born again? Do you have that new relationship? Are you still trying to kind of go through the motions? Still trying to earn your way? You're still trying to do enough? That's what the human condition does, because we want to be in control. So it's all about doing stuff. It's about acts and deeds and that sort of stuff, because I control those sort of things. When the Lord's in control, all you are is a vessel. Fill me. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Let's pray together. Let's stand. Our Father, our God, how thrilled I am to be able to declare the great gospel that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, our eternity is secured, and our lives have purpose and meaning. God, plant that truth so deeply within our hearts tonight that we'll go out of here not only rejoicing, but saying, Lord, I'm Your vessel. I'm Your vessel. I'm Your vessel. For those who cannot, with conviction tonight, be able to declare that truth, if there's folks here who do not know they've been born again, if they've never committed themselves to You, if they've never been supernaturally changed, Father, may this be the time when Brother Jeff is singing, just as I am, that you'll come to the pastor. Say, Pastor, I want to experience what J.K. is talking about. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
On that first verse, God spoke into your heart. Will you step out and let go and let God have His way? And realize that it's not an accident that you're here. It's a divine appointment. And as God speaks, will you come?
Just as I am without one plea.
Can't change a thing on our own.